Hello, everybody, and welcome to our Capricorn pre-full moon meditation. Such an important one, I feel. You know, now not only is it a super moon, I suppose it's a that's kind of an optical issue, but either means the moon is very exaggerated or that its reflecting power of the solar factors is very, very strong. Anyway, it is apparently something to really see if you are in a position to see it. All of this symbolism counts, you know, and here we are with the full moon being so very close to all of the festivities regarding our new year. You know, Tui and I have been holding here a 13-hour vigil. Part of that time was different groups from around the world, the Hechal group in Israel and the 2025 Initiative group in New York, and the Center for Living Ethics has some members in the Hechal group that we were very happy to hear from. So they joined our vigil, and I think on Makara quite soon. That program will be made available. It's a five-hour program, actually, and then we had another broadcast filled with DK's mantras and the opportunity to meditate on it, and then sort of a brief New Year's service to conclude the whole. And then this morning, I wish. It's for the Blue Rose Sisters, you know, but it was such an overwhelmingly beautiful meditation and service. If any of you are really interested in it, I'll talk to you. I'd like you to be able to hear it. It's all about the mother aspect. Well, and so much more. We have a very interesting situation. We were just talking, members of our staff, you know, about the Great Plague of London and the Great Fire of London. And right before that happened, there was the conjunction of the Sun and Saturn in the first degree of Capricorn on the solstice day. Well, it's been since 1664 that we've had that, and we had that just a few days ago, you know, so that's serious business. Capricorn, from the first ray perspective, is the law. You know, there's different ways that these first ray constellations represent the first ray. Aries just goes forward no matter what, and Leo holds the center, and Capricorn impresses the law upon humanity and upon the lower worlds in general. So I hope that we have a more positive response to this tremendous opportunity of the Saturn-Sun conjunction, sort of starting out the new year in a way, or this climactic point at which Master DK asked that the new schools be started. So I would say everybody do your best to figure out what the God of Opportunity, Saturn, and the Sun in Capricorn can do, and how you can fulfill a greater spiritual potential by using those particular energies. This is serious business now. You know, Capricorn sometimes is all business, but they have a great sense of humor on occasion. Anyway, it's serious business, and 7 years remain before the great conclave of 2025. And of course, the number seven is particularly connected with Capricorn because it gives more of the seventh ray at this time than any of the other constellations. So the sky is full of portent, and you know, some people are going to react to it negatively because they just are driven up and down the land, and they just don't know, you know. But people like ourselves who study the ageless wisdom, we should know something and be able to take advantage, you know. I was kind of looking at the this is the actual moment for the coming full moon. We have that's tonight at 1:10 GMT. We start our little service here And this is actually the full moon moment here in Finland that I'm noticing, my goodness, that Mars is rising in Scorpio. You won't have that if you don't live right where we live, but you will have the distribution of the planets with Pluto on one side of the sun and Venus, the solar angel, on the other. So it's a big opportunity, again, to clear the way for the influence of the solar angel that we all seek to be influenced by. And we have a very promising Mars-Jupiter conjunction, which gives the power to overcome obstacles, or the nine heads of the Hydra. Choose your head. We're all dealing with one head or another, and Mars and Jupiter give that expansive attitude that can really fight the battle and overcome. So the solar angel is here, and the purification is here, and the discipline is here. The discipline of Saturn, the great god of opportunity. A lot of people, they might not like Saturn so very much because it causes personal strain and difficulty, but it clears the way for the soul to express. So Saturn is the friend of the disciple and is the disciple's planet, with Mercury, a major discipleship planet. I suppose you can say they all are, but Saturn is particularly. So I hope we all have some good resolutions coming up for the coming year, which could be a year of great difficulty when we look on the international stage. And we people who know something about the inner life have to assert ourselves on behalf of the light and the love which lies behind all things in a very powerful, willful way. We have to be able to tip the balance towards the good. And we know before World War II, that wasn't done, even though the opportunity was there, if enough disciples had really plunged into it in the right way. So no question about it, a huge responsibility lies on our shoulders at this time. However you want to execute that responsibility in your own groups, in your own individual self, but it has to be executed. Well, we are, dealing with Capricorn here in this wonderful statement, lost am I in light supernal, yet on that light I turn my back. This is the light of the mountaintop, the light of initiation. It's somehow a blend of the solar energies, Venusian energies, and the great seventh ray. And it's really the beginning of the transfigured life. Now, a lot of us have a long way to go before we're going to achieve that third initiation. But the light from the mountaintop can really begin to influence our thinking, our meditation, our minds, and so forth. So we really have to be able to access that brilliant light that can see the whole 360 degrees around. There's nothing in the way. It's a panoramic vision. And then in that supernal light, we begin to climb towards the relinquishment of the fourth initiation, at the same time helping below under the seventh ray to the greatest extent that we can. Behind the warriors, twixt the light and dark, blazes the light of hierarchy. And I guess we are, all of us in our own way, warriors for the expression of the light, the love, the plan, the will of God. If we ever wanted to redouble our commitment, this is the year to do it. And of course, while I'm on the subject, I'd like to invite you all to the upcoming University of the Seven Rays conference, which is starting in the end of April. You can look it up around the 24th, our pre-conference and our full conference. It's going to be a special one because it's related to the second ray. The Buddha and the Christ, it's something like something wisdom and all-pervading love, so give me the adjective, but it's a beautiful adjective for the wisdom of the Buddha and the all-pervading love of the Christ and how they both function together. I'm only the president of this organization, so maybe I should remember the title of the conference. Anyway, It would be lovely to have you there. And if you can't make it, it would be, you know, great if you can join our broadcasts. But, you know, there's nothing like being there in person if you possibly can. And we're in a new venue, the San Marcos Resort. It's very lovely. And there's an old town next to it, Chandler, Arizona. And I think it's a well worth it experience for those people who have been there. And of course, we're there every year. This is our 32nd conference. So, you know, take that as a very strong, heartfelt invitation and start to plan now if you possibly can. Well, here, you know, we have the rulers of Saturn, the planet of discipleship and opportunity, and of stress, a crushing stress upon all things that do not serve the plan. Okay. But then Venus is the hierarchical ruler, and there's a special type of divine love which comes from Venus in relation to Capricorn. It's the kind of love that is spread by the divine plan and purpose. And, you know, you sometimes may wonder why at Christmas there's such beautiful music. And I think that this has a lot to do with the influence of Venus. There's some kind of archetypal beauty which is coming through with Venus in Capricorn. And we'll meditate on that as we go. You know, it starts out really, really tough, but it ends in supernal light and supernal beauty. Here is the, what can I call it? This is the Jofra. I'm trying to move this, but it doesn't want to move. Okay, let's see if it, no, it's not going to move. All right. Anyway, you don't see it. I just see it. It's blocking my way. But here's this very skeletal Saturnian type of man. You know, Capricorn rules the lowest and the highest, and it rules the greatest density, and it also thrusts its peak above the materiality of the lower 18 or 21 subplanes. So it's really a sign of youth and of old age at the same time. It's a sign of the second birth, the way each initiation is. It gives you the opportunity to be born again and born again, and to become a babe in Christ and a little child, second initiation, and or maybe a young man, you know, as they sometimes say, or then to be a rich young person at the third initiation, and then finally really to be established in the hierarchy as a fully mature member of the hierarchy by the time, you know, we reach the fifth initiation. So all five of those initiations are ruled by Capricorn. And here, you know, is the artist's depiction of supernal light, and it's shining behind the mountaintop. You know, the sun on the mountain is a great symbol for Capricorn. Now we have still the two-horned goat, but if we were to look at the creature which manages to climb to the very top, it would be the symbol of the initiate, the white and one-pointed unicorn with that great horn, which is both a weapon for spiritual purpose and an organ of reception and insight. And it represents the spiral cyclic motion of the soul as it ascends. So the secret of the soul is going to be revealed in Capricorn. That, you know, with Capricorn, you can't just talk. You have to do. You have to actually accomplish and walk your talk. That's the way initiation is. It's an entirely practical thing, and you can talk about it till you're blue, but if you don't do the things that are required, then it's just not going to happen. So a very practical attitude towards the bringing of spirit into matter is required, and that's the very powerful seventh ray of Capricorn, along with the first ray and the third ray that are there. So it's a wonderful, brilliant sign. Sometimes it's even, if you've looked at it in the sky, it looks like a great triangle, relating it to the third aspect of divinity, of course. So this this sign or this constellation is so powerful that DK sometimes separates it out from the other constellations and makes it a kind of a cosmic source all on its own, the equivalent of some of the other cosmic sources which are not zodiacal signs. So I just hope, you know, I hope for you, I hope for me, I hope for all of us, that we're able to take advantage of this Capricornian pressure, pressure being the law of existence, we're told by Master M, take advantage of this Capricornian pressure and get ourselves into shape so that we can really represent the higher purpose and before that, the divine plan, and each of us can do something about the divine plan. Now, let's see here. This is from Dwayne, a carpenter, lost to my light supernal, yet on that light I turn my back, and here are the rays that are found in Capricorn, the red ray 1, the green ray 3, and the violet ray 7. Here is the goat, and on his forehead, the you know, Capricorn is a lot associated with the unicorn, with the forehead. We have the green 5-pointed star representing the connection with the third aspect, but there is that little red dot in the middle telling us about that core of will. And behind the ordinary goat, there's a very luminous goat. You know, we've been emphasizing to you and I the unicorn of God is another way of calling the great constellation Capricorn. And it seems to thread itself into the natural world with these sort of outgrowths of the horns, you know, and it's a sign that is connected with all forms in the lower 18 subplanes and maybe even the lower 21 subplanes. So this is quite a powerful symbol. Now, let's see what else we've got here. This is, you know, Francis's pictures are always highly valued. Here is the Gompa, you know, where the master is to greet us at the top of the hill, and we ascend through what we can call the Gate of Wisdom. I'll read a little bit about that from Francis, not the whole thing. If you want to read the whole thing, then I suggest you go to the Moria Federation website. And by the way, you know, as long as I'm saying it, it's certainly not too late to apply to the Moria Federation. You know, it can take you 7 years to finish the full program or more, but it'd be a great way to warm up for the year 2025. So just go to moriafederation.com, and there are three different kinds of applications there, and maybe one of them suits you very much. I remember how excited I was when I joined the Arcane School. It made a big difference to me. And I think we've devised a program which somehow is very comprehensive. I would say maybe the most comprehensive esoteric program that's available out there. And its model is the preparatory schools, the curriculum for the preparatory schools of the future. So I just put in that little plug, you know, this is the time to show our purpose and that we really want to assimilate the Ageless Wisdom and be ready for when the Master up here in this Gompa gives us the new dispensation starting in the year 2025. And here is one of, this is one of my favorite that Francis has drawn. It's all about initiation, and I'm going to read about that, and you're going to see many, many symbolical factors here in this sort of transparent capstone of a great pyramid. Matter of fact, I think I'll just start to read a little bit about it right now, but take a good look at it. He's on the lion's skin, and there's the symbol of liberation on his back, and there's a particular mudra here. So notice how the thumb and the little finger are intertwined, and here is a crocodile goddess, I think it's Sobek, and here is the horn of the unicorn in a way, and the many eyes that lead, you know, to the great eye, which makes itself visible at the fourth initiation. You know, don't want to see God, our planetary logos, face to face too quickly, because you'll die. You know, your form won't be able to take it. So not until the fifth initiation do we see our planetary God face to face. But, you know, the star and the eye and all that, that's quite a presence. And, you know, here's the eagle, the third decanate of Capricorn is powerful for initiation. It's ruled by the by Aquila, the eagle, and it's ruled by three planets, interestingly enough, Mercury, the Sun, and Vulcan, all conferring their gifts. So if we're going through that kind of period in Capricorn, or if you're born in that way or have rising sign, you have a very big opportunity. But everything in Capricorn is an opportunity, whether it's to suffer in the first decanate under Sagitta, the arrow, and treading the Via Dolorosa, or whether it's to leap out of the water with the dolphin in the second decanate, or whether it's to fly as the initiate free in the third decanate, the opportunity is definitely there. So I'm hoping for all of us disciples that somehow we really get the idea that it's not business as usual, and that we have to seize the opportunity now. Carpe diem, seize the day, because the day does not necessarily repeat itself. It doesn't necessarily come back when you want it to, you know. So I'm telling myself that as I make my resolutions for the coming year. And, you know, I hope that we all in our own way really apply the will and make our resolutions and do our very best to keep them. Now, here is a text. I'm just going to kind of read this because Francis has done such a good job with it. I can't necessarily read everything, but these are ideas that don't hurt to have repeated. As the sun pauses for a moment on the horizon, we step inside the pyramidion, the capstone. It's transparent, note that, of the Great Pyramid, one of the most sacred places on earth. A rare moment in the life of a disciple is unfolding before us. Quote, we see the emergence of the consciousness of the initiate, white and one-pointed, and the defeat of the king of beasts, the personality, the triumph of selflessness and illumination, that's in Capricorn, over the lowest reading of Leo, the selfishness. The king of beasts has been blinded, you know, it usually sees things that are so obvious and not the deep things, and killed by the piercing of his eye and heart, you know, his consciousness and his desire nature, by the long horn of the unicorn. Thus, we have the theme of this month's full moon, initiation, the new unicorn. His victory has taught him to kneel upon the lion's skin. You know, that's the defeat of the king of beasts. For, quote, only when the Capricornian subject learns to kneel in all humility and with his knee upon the rocky mountaintop to offer his heart and life to the soul and to human experience, human service, can he be permitted to pass through the door of initiation and be entrusted with the secrets of life. Remember, the secrets of the soul are revealed in Capricorn. Only on his knees can he go through that door, and those of you who are Masons and in other kinds of lodges, you will recognize the symbolism here. He offers his heart and life to the soul by means of a mudra, the sacred hand position. We remember the mudra. Yeah, there's the sacred hand position. He offers his heart and life. As the center of gravity shifts from personality to soul, his inner vision opens. You know, that's the developed Ajna center, right? The higher type of psychism, which can be cultivated at the third initiation and under Capricorn, under Venus, under the fifth ray. Excuse me. The two horns have become the unicorn's great horn of plenty. The riches of the kingdom of heaven are now available to the rich young man. It has been occultly said that a vision, I love this part, it has been occultly said that a vision of these powers and their many weaving lines, seen as rivers and streams of light, is given to the initiate, the true initiate of the third degree, from the mountaintop of Capricorn, once that summit has been reached. It is at the transfiguration initiation that this vision appears before the eyes of the astounded disciple. Now, if that's not inspiring, you know, for any budding esoteric astrologer. That's got to be a really inspiring statement, you know, to actually see how the energies flow, the energies we talk about all the time, to actually see them. On the altar before our disciple sits the crocodile-headed god Sobek. Now remember, the crocodile is one of the symbols of the fifth grade of hierarchy, which has descended so low in sacrifice. It's really taking on a lot. And the crocodile, you know, it's a dual hierarchy, and the personality is part of it, and the solar angel is another and higher part. The crocodile, the goat, and the unicorn depict three stages of man's spiritual unfoldment in Capricorn. Sobek, with its two horns, Uraeus, and solar disc, carries attributes of all these stages, but he hastens the dissolution of the outgrown form. So let's take a look at Sobek here again. I'm not sure how we can make that. Well, if I make it bigger, what will happen? Okay. Well, there's Sobek. Okay. He's going off to the corner. And, you know, I suppose we have to get close to realize that all three areas of man's development under Capricorn are represented here. Okay. Anyway, Francis has certainly packed it all with great symbolism. So anyway, when linked with Heru, the falcon-headed principle of spiritual ascension, and that's up, that's right up here. He's flying. There he is. He's the falcon. There are two falcons, and one of them is the human falcon, and the other is the solar angel. Okay. The falcon-headed principle of spiritual ascension, he becomes a potent transformer, a primal force needed in the preparation for initiation. For this reason, both Sobek and Heru, here depicted as a descending falcon, surrounded by the constellation of Capricorn, offers the Ankh, the symbol of life. It's a Venus symbol, isn't it, when you look at it? And the solar angel comes from Venus, and there is the sense that the solar angel is the falcon. You know, sometimes we think about Sagittarius, and there's the falling falcon with the lyre, the sevenfold lyre that you play as an instrument. And this is the symbol of the solar angel in Sagittarius falling into animal man. And now comes the conferral much later of initiation as the Ankh is carried to the initiate. When the Ankh was carried earlier in the day, it was simply for the individualization of man. And that was a long time ago, at least in our particular solar system, but in other, in the earlier solar system, much earlier, of course, and in the moon chain billions of years earlier. So some of us maybe were individualized there and came in with somewhat open egoic lotuses. It's all, you know, just think what a master knows if he has the right library card, you know. It's, you got to get into those shambolic libraries and find out what's really going on. So here's the mudra, the thumb and the little finger for our disciple, form the apex of a pyramid, whilst their opposite indicate the pit, the root chakra of the great pyramid. Well, the Capricorn is the highest and the lowest. We've been told the worst type of people and the very best type of people found there. The inner three fingers of each hand form a counterclockwise spiral that represents the pyramid's three known ascending spaces. Isn't this rich in symbolism? The Queen's Chamber, the Grand Gallery, and the King's Chamber. And of course, pyramid, means fire at the center. And this mudra also represents the head center, the heart's deep cave, and the root chakra of the disciple. So, through this dual meaning, he has aligned himself with this great instrument of initiation. Well, there's just some marvelous things being said here. I can't go through it all, but I recommend that you do go to the Moria Federation, and you'll find all of what Francis has written about these things. But I'd like to remind us of some of the main points when we have our meditations. There's so much to keep in mind, but of course, the energy itself is the main thing. Capricorn, in the perfect example of the influences of Capricorn, head and heart are perfectly balanced. Interesting, right? And there's the Venus, the blending of head and heart, the hierarchical ruler. Another quotation, Capricorn admits the soul into conscious participation in the life of that world center, which we call the hierarchy. So the key to Capricorn is the key to the hierarchy is Capricorn, and Mars is very much involved here. Scorpio is involved. Venus is involved. All of these gifts of the various planets. Here's another one. Capricorn is ever the sign of conclusion. It's called like periodic arresting. And of this, the mountaintop is frequently the symbol, for it marks the point beyond which further ascent in any particular life cycle is not possible. So you have to go down to serve in Aquarius, but keep the light at your back and radiate the light. Okay, there's many beautiful things here, and I just, you know, can't read them all right now. But you go to the Moria Federation website, and you'll find them. You know, the Tibetan is quoting richly here about the pyramid and the key that comes down and the fifth ray method and all that. So it's so rich. If you really think about what the Tibetan has given us, it's it's just extraordinary. You know, it's just extraordinary, and that's why it's our duty to assimilate what he has given. You know, because he's going to give again in this third installment, and we want to be ready, right? We want to be ready. Okay, here's a little bit more about the Gompa. And let's see here. Capricorn, the banner, and somewhere here is the Gompa. All right, I'll try to find that. All right, let's see if I can find that Gompa. Okay, what have we got here? Dwayne Carpenter text, Francis, okay, this is a pyramid, and maybe this is it. Yeah, it's the structure called the Gompa. It's a combination of spiritual study center and meditation hall that can be found in almost every lamasery. Remember that, some of you? Okay, in this extract from a statement by the Tibetan, Master Chwalku informs us that he was the abbot of such a lamasery. Was it the Tashi Lumpo lamasery? It was a big one, situated near the border of Tibet. In keeping with the Tibetan tradition of study and meditation and service, he provided us with a curriculum for the future esoteric schools, and that's what the Moria Federation is trying to advance. We can't advance everything, but we can come as close as possible. Well, you know, the true mountaintop, that's what we're all, it's a factor in consciousness, and we have to walk up at first the hill and then climb the mountains to reach it. And it's all an internal factor. So I suggest, you know, you go to the Federation website and see this. But I'll read this much. Capricorn is ever the sign of conclusion. For of this, the mountaintop is frequently the symbol. I think I started to read this before. So it's the sign of periodic arresting. Progress becomes impossible under the existing forms, and there has to be the descent into the valley of pain, despair, and death before a fresh attempt to scale the heights takes place. Well, you know, we live on that kind of planet, and it's the planet of releasing sorrow and purifying pain. Nice words that maybe the personality doesn't like so much, but this is our way to make our contribution under the cross to the rest of the solar system. Anyway, we are all under the eye of Master DK, let us say. And here we're becoming the master of forces. I know them now, these whirling forces, and here I stand, and will not move until I know the law of karma, which governs all this movement up and down the land. And here's self-determination. I will determine for myself the way to go. Then onward I will move. I will not travel up and down the land, nor turn in space, but onward will I move. So rotary motion is giving way to progress onward. It's just beautiful what Saturn has given us. And let's end this consideration of what Francis has offered here with a kind of a symbolism about the knees in relation to Capricorn. Capricorn rules the knees, And this is symbolically true, for only when the Capricornian subject learns to kneel in all humility and with his knees upon the rocky mountaintop to offer his heart and life to the soul and to human service, can he be permitted to pass through the door of initiation and be entrusted with the secrets of life. Only on his knees can he go through the door. So let's keep in mind that necessary humility required of all of us if we're really going to ascend and be really, really useful to the divine plan, to the divine purpose, and to the spiritual hierarchy which attempts to carry out that plan. There's a lot of information, but the main thing is this is a time of power and a time of great responsibility. And the more, if you want power to come to you, take on responsibility. It's like what Alice Bailey said, you know, if you want something done, give it to a busy person. If you want power, take on responsibility, more and more responsibility. And then we will match ourselves to Master Moria's words, which are tough to carry out. Burden me still more as I enter the beautiful garden. You know, the garden of fruition of the plan on the lower 18 and 21 subplanes. But burden me still more, burden me still more. I'm remembering from Arthur Miller's play, The Crucible. You know, it was about a witch hunt, and normal good people were accused of being witches and all that. And they had this unusual method sometimes of executing a person. And it was called pressing, you know, a very Saturnian thing. But they would put more and more weight upon the chest in terms of stones so you couldn't breathe. And one of the characters in the play, his name was Giles Corey. They said he's a fearsome man, was Giles Corey. All he would say to his tormentors was, more weight. So, you know, we disciples, we can learn from what Moria says, and we can learn a little bit here from what Giles Corey said in an earlier time. All right, now let's get into the meditation. Excuse me. And please do remember that at 1:10 tonight, you know, just a little while from now, I think Brett has put it in the chat box, yeah. Through Francis Images, you can see that and the exact moment of the full moon and all that, and our link there, you can pick that up. Tuya is going to offer her exact moments meditation service broadcast. So I guess we won't be going to sleep here, but anyway, if you want to join us, you're most welcome. And remember, I remember going to one of my first full moon exact moments. You know, in those days there was no internet, and we're driving in the middle of the night in Los Angeles area for some kind of 2:30 in the morning exact moment, but it felt like a really, really good thing to do. All right, here we go. So we're really in this day of safeguarding, receiving and holding the energy which is building up, and then we will distribute. So right now, we all come together. There's quite a few of us here, some 78 or 80 people here, something like that. And we withdraw our consciousness from the personality vehicles and enter deeply into the presence of the soul. We have the body, but we're not the body. We have the etheric electrical field, but it's our instrument. We are not that. We have our sensitive, emotional, responsive, sentient vehicle, but it is an instrument. We are not essentially that. We have the mind filled with thoughts and the power to reason and think, but it is an instrument. And we are not that. They are our possessions. Oh, really, everything is. But we are the observer, really. We are the consciousness in the personality field, and we can withdraw and negate the personality field as an entrapment, and instead we begin to pull ourselves into this field of light and love and spiritual power, spiritual sacrificial will. And we are, as it were, at least imaginatively, in the light of the soul, feeling the love of the soul, feeling that will to sacrifice for the sake of the divine plan and purpose. We're in that. Affirm that to yourself. The soul field, you know, so often we're just somehow the extended soul in the personality field, forgetting who we really are, but actually our next higher level of identity, not the ultimate, but next higher, is the soul field. So we sort of merge ourselves imaginatively into the group soul here, with people who are in one soul field spread throughout the world. And merging with all the men and women of goodwill, thus strengthening them as souls in incarnation, wherever they may be, and often working under adverse circumstances. And we reach out to the members of the new group of world servers who are serving even more intensively. They live to serve. And by declaring our solidarity with them, we strengthen them, and we want to be assured that we serve so much with the right motive that we are, in fact, members of the new group of world servers. But all of this is done on the soul plane, higher mental plane, especially the second level of the higher mental plane. And we consider them as souls in one soul field. And as soul infusing personalities, and really we reach out to everyone in the body, out of the body, the entire human race. However many billion there are, that is still to be decided. You can't tell by how many are in incarnation. Usually 1/7, he says, but these are unusual times. And every member of the human family has a soul somehow, every member, regardless of the quality of the personality, somehow we're in union with them. There is a higher unity which exists, regardless of the expression of the personality. Sometimes not so good an expression. There's one big unity in humanity. And by using one of the second ray mantras, we can somehow realize this. There is no my soul or thy soul. Naught is but me, capital M, me. The all-pervasive me, the pervading, unitive being factor, being in consciousness, pervading, that will help abstract us from personal identification, which is such a trap. And if we enter the light supernal, or at least are infused by that light, that little me, the little self, you know, it begins to fade out, and our truer self begins to emerge in consciousness. Well, our goal is to build the Rainbow Bridge so that we can discover the wisdom of the higher planes. And you know how that goes. This is the picture. You have to build that bridge between the mental unit and the monastic permanent atom, and then beyond until the monad is reached, and beyond and beyond. So there's our seven colored rainbow bridge. We draw up the powers of the etheric and physical body, draw it up. And from the astral plane, an image goes forth, an imagination consisting of the seven colored bridge, but in everyone's bridge, reaching into the triad and beyond, at least imaginatively, two colors stand out particularly, the colors of the soul ray and the personality ray, or if you're not sure, just, you know, we'll all use indigo as basically a second ray group here. That brilliant bridge with two colors prominent. As it were, reaching into the triad, it cannot really yet penetrate the higher levels of the triad, which are reserved for those beyond the rank of master. But it can be on its way, and response can come. And even monadic being can flash into consciousness now and then. So we're looking for the greatest light, the mother of illumination. Taurus waits for us. The supernal light of Capricorn waits for us on the level of the monad. Unfettered enlightenment waits for us. And we imagine that we're going to project our bridge. Let's use the indigo color predominantly. And we're going to flash upwards, what DK calls a rapier-like alignment, using the imagination to trigger the response of the higher energies. So let's sound on a second-ray note, a G, three times the ohm, and imagine that flashing into the higher realms, as we say the second-ray word of power, I see the greatest light. That's inwardly we say that, and outwardly we sound the ohm. Unfettered enlightenment of Shambhala in the one fundamental school we imagine to be somewhat accessible to us as the downflow from our invocatory call. The light of the will, the light of harmony and buddhi and love, wisdom, the light of the abstract mind, the light of the monad, bringing us more revelation, unsuspectedly, unexpectedly. We don't know what will be revealed, but we're meditating in this great light. I see the greatest light. And this is the world, this triadal world, in which the masters customarily focus their consciousness. Once beyond the fourth degree, once into the fifth degree, the spiritual triad is the home to the focus of consciousness. And eventually the monad will be at the sixth degree. It's all done through increasing the point of tension. To imagine this great light is available to us. We can call it the supernal light, if we will. It's triadal light and beyond. At least we imagine it. And we offer our gratitude and our salutations to the great ones, to the masters who live in this world and have to sacrifice, really, to descend into ours. So our heartfelt gratitude goes out to the Christ. He actually lives on the seventh plane at the right hand of the Father. That's the little egoic plane, as a monad in process of liberation at the seventh degree. So we offer and concentrate very much upon the great Lord. This Capricorn time is special to him, and humanity reaches him in a special way at this Venus time, representing the birth of the Christ in the heart of humanity and of many who are ready for that, and the continued expansion of the Christ principle through all the successive initiations. So here we go. Oh. Salutations to the Christ, the master of all masters, the teacher alike of angels and of men. Salutations to the triangle of masters with whom we most closely work, Master M, Master KH, Master DK, working in very close cooperation. Salutations to Master Moria, the head of all esoteric schools and organizations. Salutations to Master Kutumi, the coming Christ of the Age of Capricorn, and the one whose ashram is most responsible in the matter of the reappearance of the Lord Maitreya, the present Christ. Salutations to the Master Joao Kuhl, who trains aspirants and disciples for initiation. The messenger of the Masters, the one who has given us the blue books and so much information to Madame Blavatsky for the secret doctrine. Salutations to your own master as you know him to be or believe him to be. Salutations to the entire planetary hierarchy of our planet. These are the ones we seek to cooperate with, to raise our vibration so we can serve them because they serve the plan and serve ultimately the unknown purpose. Then, imaginatively, going even higher, however we want to conceive it as a group, with deepest reverence and in appropriate humility, identified as the group soul, we seek to envision or come in rapport with the center where the will of God is known. We all need this will in our life, however little we understand it. And so we attempt, at least imaginatively, to attune to the ubiquitous presence of Sanat Kumara, who holds the very center of Shambhala. And the Capricorn is such a good time to do it. It's such a sign of the divine will, the divine plan, the divine purpose. May we all touch that will somehow and understand it and be driven by it. And then we have our moment of silence here. Where we inwardly, silently sound a long om as we attempt to attune with Sanat Kumara and the center where the will of God is known. A long, inner, silent om. So we have our imaginative alignment. We've imaginatively activated the Antikarana. We've imaginatively declared our solidarity with the hierarchy, focused on the triadal levels. We are ripe for receiving the input from the higher levels as we attempt to understand the energy is now available to us. We, as if, come together at a point. We seem to be spread about, but really we're at a point of tension together, representing our consciousness. And the soul, light, love, and power of that consciousness. And we're going to take our journey imaginatively. And on the golden pathway which leads to the center of the indigo sun, we poise ourselves, all of us, as if together. And as the pathway shortens, we travel with it until we find ourselves in the midst of the blue, in the midst of the indigo blue. Where we're going to act as if Master DK's consciousness can use us as outposts, as we think about and come en rapport with the available energies. So as if it's very real in these 12 hours before the actual full moon, we're well within that. We know that for his groups, Master DK was seeking to meet them in consciousness. And maybe he keeps an eye out for approaching groups, approaching individuals, as we seek to come more deeply en rapport with the energies available of Saturn, of Venus, of the Sun, and of Capricorn. First, it will be the duties, the karmic obligations that Saturn brings. All must be fulfilled. Then it will be alignment with the plan and with the law. The higher esoteric Saturn. And then it will be Venus that we encounter, imaginatively at least, bringing illumination from the world of the soul and that special type of divine love, austere divine love, very beautiful, that appears in the higher light of transfiguration. These energies are here. They're always here, but they're especially emergent at this time. And we want to use them and be used by them to fulfill our karma, our dharma, and the law, the will, the beauty of the solar angel. So the first Saturn, we have many things to fulfill, our karma, our dharma. We've got to take the responsibility to fulfill these unfulfilled things so we can be released from them and get on with a task that is even more meaningful in planetary terms. Responsibility, individual. Group responsibility later. Living the disciplined life which expresses the soul. And so let's bring in, as it were, those energies of Saturn into our groups, giving us more willingness to fulfill responsibility. We'll use the Saturn being the third ray monad, we'll use the note F. The green note will bring in Saturn, solemn Saturn, into our groups and be equipped with that energy. But there's more to Saturn. What really is our role in the divine plan, and even later, the divine purpose? So we voluntarily sacrifice, calling on the spiritual will from the atmic plane ruled by Saturn. So that we can really be in line with the purpose, but first with the plan. Groups that fulfill the plan in their own way. Individuals who think first of the plan rather than their own personal desire. Again, we'll bring Saturn into our individual lives and groups in relation to the spiritual will of Atma, and allowing us to be conforming to as much of the plan or even the divine purpose as we can fathom. We need to be fortified by Saturn. We act as grown-ups in the spiritual field. We don't have to be led everywhere as if we're simply babes or little children. We need to grow up. Saturn, the planet of maturity. But now we encounter the hierarchical ruler, and that is Venus, the pure spiritual love, the union of love and luminous spiritual knowledge, heart and mind, the supernal light, even the supernal love on top of the mountain. The secret of the soul, revealing the secret of the soul, and touching the solar angels whose amazing beneficence has saved us millions of years of ordinary evolution. Venus is orange in color physically, but it's very deep blue, monadically considered. And though it represents the orange of the fifth ray, monadically it represents the sixth ray and the second ray, both rays of love. So can we bring this higher solar angelic Venus energy into our individual lives and into our groups? We'll use the note A. We need to be closer to the solar angel. And closer to the alter ego of the earth. Just as the solar angel is our alter ego, so Venus is the alter ego of the earth. And this wonderful energy that we meet on the mountaintop as we start really to become souls in a transfigured way. Let's bring in Venus again into our individual lives. A higher Venus, and into our group living. There's such dignity in this sign, Capricorn, and in its rulers, and maybe we can appreciate some of that. But on we move, of course, because it's a solar event, these full moons, to our great Logos Blue. The Blue Logos, making every one of us as a monad, we find our place, our home within the sun as monads at this time, giving us love wisdom, whatever our rays are in other senses. We are all solar systemic units of love wisdom. Let's try to realize that. That's our duty to express. That's what the Christ teaches. And the great second ray soul of our planet is a wonderful receptor for this solar logoic love wisdom. Let's sound the blue note, the G, and visualize ourselves and our planet, the other planets, the solar system, infused with the love wisdom of the solar logos. This is the energy which must overcome all the ignorant obstacles, or the obstacles produced by ignorance. This love can melt all those things away. One more time. Great second degree cosmic initiate, our solar logos, with a astral body filled with love, a soul on the second ray, a personality on the second ray, ultimately a monad on the second ray. A whole planet filled with love, wisdom, achieved through initiation, Capricorn. So these are the solar systemic factors we encounter on our imaginative trip into the energies, supported by the amazing knowledge of these things from Master DK. Now we actually go imaginatively to that great triangle in the sky, which is Capricorn. And it brings us the light of initiation. This is the light which clears the way to the mountain top and produces transfiguration, thus revealing the rising sun. We can call that rising sun the soul, but we can also call it the monad, which begins to rise in its influence at the third degree. And we become conscious of it. And the head centers under Vulcan become activated. And we begin to know God's will a little. The light of initiation. Some of these sentences about the 12 types of light found in Esoteric Astrology, about 329, are amazingly revelatory. So now we're going to focus on the unicorn of God, that great constellation, a tremendous life. The unicorn, more than the goat, the unicorn, bringing in the seventh ray and the third and the first, but particularly at this time, the seventh light supernal and the seventh ray. But ultimately, from Capricorn, and let us remember it, the will that conquers death. So, preparing for our actual full moon exact moment, let us have some moments in deep silence as we ponder on the meaning of the occult mantram for Capricorn, its relevance to us as individuals and to our groups and to the whole planet. Lost am I in light supernal, yet on that light I turn my back. We'll have some moments of silence. Who knows what might be revealed within the supernal light, however much of it we can access. He who faces towards the light and stands within its radiance is blinded to the issues of the world of men. He passes on his way to the great center of absorption. But he who feels the urge to pass that way yet loves his brother on the darkened path revolves upon the pedestal of light and turns the other way. And then the seven points of light within him reflect the outward streaming radiance. And lo, the face of those upon the darkened path receives that light. For them, the way is not so dark. Behind the warriors, twixt the light and dark, blazes the light of hierarchy. Lost am I in light supernal. Yet on that light, I turn my back. Do we accept the responsibility that this Saturn-Sun conjunction on the solstitial first degree demands of us? That's up to everyone, every group, to decide. It won't be easy. And just prepare for that. All of this is taking place within the great being of our local, one about whom naught may be said. You know, and if we were to look at it here, it's this little green triangle. And there are many of these ones about whom naught may be said, and sub-parabrahmic logoi, and a cosmic parabrahm, which is certainly not even the size of a galaxy, not by any means. So we live in an immense cosmos, but our local, one about whom naught may be said, has the center, maybe the head center is the Pleiades, with the jewel in the head being the seven. And around it, the heart center in the head, the 12 zodiacal constellations, and Capricorn being one of these. Well, it passes on, sharing its influence with other chakras, in the one about whom naught may be said, has something to do with the bear, has something to do with the dragon, but it reaches our local cosmic logos, our local logos, kind of a sacral or solar plexus center in this great being. And into our sun, our logos, our soda logos, the Capricornian quality comes. Our soda logos, a heart center in our local cosmic logos. And from thence to Saturn, to Venus, and from thence to the earth, to Shambhala, into our lives as monads, into our lives as souls, into Shambhala, into hierarchy. Capricorn then descending into every awakening disciple, through the head, the throat, the base of the spine especially, This tremendous energy reaches each one of us. You can just feel the solemnity of this energy as the full moon approaches. And our world is troubled, but Capricorn is the law. Capricorn is the plan. So think then for a moment, where would you direct the spiritual will, the spiritual law, the spiritual plan? Where would you direct it? Let's use a second ray note as we direct the transformative power of Capricorn into one or more of these danger spots in the world, which threatens to set back the divine plan and become part of the forces of obstruction. Three times. And as we move towards the full moon at 2:23 and 59 seconds GMT, Universal Time, not far from now, let's keep in mind the power of Capricorn and how it can help humanity conform to the plan, to the purpose, to what is right, how it can help the human aspirant, humanity as the aspirant, become truly the disciple, and eventually, before long, the first degree initiate in its most awakened members. The opportunity is great. Let us seize the opportunity. And so we'll be preparing for our gathering tonight. For us, it's night, and we start at 10 minutes after 1 GMT, 10 minutes after 3 here, finish time, and you can judge accordingly. And let's just do the great invocation together and continue to intensify our point of tension. So we really, you know, he says, DK says, get the right point of tension, and you can accomplish more in a few minutes or a few hours than other people taking years and years. Get the right point of tension. From the point of light, within the mind of God, let light stream forth into the minds of men. Let light descend on earth. from the point of love within the heart of God. Let love stream forth into the hearts of men. May Christ return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide the little wills of men, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the race of men, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. Friends, thank you very much for attending. Brett will have this up on Makara before long, and if you want to use this meditation in any way for the days of distribution, it will be up there for you. Meanwhile, as stated, we begin at 1:10 a.m. GMT, and Tuya will be leading the broadcast service meditation for Capricorn. Thank you very much for being here. Let's hold the point of attention. Let's really use these amazing energies in making our resolutions for the year and somehow carrying them out. Thank you, and we'll see you soon. Bye-bye, everybody.